Why are we sending a team from Fellowship Baptist to Indonesia? Now, I'm sure that as the presentation was going on, you were probably thinking of several questions and concerns that you might have. I mean, Indonesia already has its own religion. They've got 6 official religions. Almost everybody there has their own faith. Those that are Christians seem to already be doing a great job of evangelizing. And what can a team of 4 people do in 1 week in a culture that is not their own? Why is Fellowship Baptist sending a team to Indonesia? So I'm going to lead you through an exercise in Bible study. This is the method that the team will be using when they're actually in Manado, Indonesia, and it usually takes about 6 hours to work through a single chapter. As that is somewhat longer than even your Pastor Jason preaches, we're going to shorten this down just a little bit, okay? And I trust that you won't feel too shortchanged at that. When we approach any passage of Scripture, there's several questions you can ask about the passage. It's like having a carpenter's belt of tools that you can pull out and use to work into that passage and find out what it's saying. Some of the tools you use all the time, like a hammer or a screwdriver or duct tape, and a few of them don't get used that often. But one question we give to our participants in the Leaders Formation Group when they read a passage like this is, what does this passage teach me about God? What does this passage teach me about God? Which makes sense. The Bible is God's communication to us. It's His revelation about Himself to us. He worked through humans like you and me to communicate His character and His nature to us through the Word, so it makes sense to ask of the passage, what is this teaching me about God? And you look in these verses, and it's so full. Verse 2, He's the giver of grace. Imagine a God who wasn't a giver of grace, unmerited favor to people like you and me. Verses 3 to 5, God reveals Himself. Again, imagine a world in which God had not revealed Himself, in which you're guessing every time you go to prayer what it is that God needs or wants from you, and instead our God has revealed Himself. Wow. Verse 6, God unites people together. Verse 6, God promises. Verses 8, the riches in Christ are unsearchable. Verse 10, He's incredibly wise. Verse 12, He's an approachable God, one we can come to with boldness and confidence. And that's just at a first reading. Imagine what you could do with this if you had 6 hours. You can find many, many more in this passage. It's so rich. And we want to be like Him, don't we, as we read about God in this passage? We want to be full of grace. We want to be sharing His revelation of Himself to others. We want to be working to unite people, acting on His promises, taking advantage of the riches that He's given, and coming before Him with boldness and confidence. We want that. But I missed a big one in verses 10 and 11. I skipped over it on purpose because I want to focus on it right now. You see, the reason we're able to keep our study of a passage of Scripture like this down to 6 hours is the fact that we ask our participants to select one item from the passage. One. And that takes us 6 hours to go through. We ask a series of questions that helps them dig into that characteristic of God. So let's try that. Look at verses 10 and 11. I'll be reading in the NIV, so it might be a little bit different from what you've got there in the Pew Bible. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I believe in the version you've got there, it says He realized it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our God, the one described in this passage, has a purpose, and that purpose is eternal. And that purpose was realized in Jesus, accomplished in Jesus. And that purpose is that He would be made known throughout the world. Why is that significant to somebody like you or me? Why is that important that God has a purpose and wants to make the purpose known? What's the big deal about that? Have you ever felt at a loss to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing next? Have you ever looked at the world around you and wondered how morals and standards could be shifting so fast? Do you ever wonder if there's a purpose to this crazy world that we live in? Do you ever wonder if you have a purpose in this world? Our God, the one described in this passage, has a purpose. And that purpose is eternal. And that purpose has been realized. It's been accomplished in Jesus. And that purpose is to be made known through the church. His purpose helps make sense of this world and provides an unchangeable rock that we can cling to. Unchangeable. Have you ever worked on a 5-year plan? Have you ever dealt with one of those in your business or your ministry? You read up on what has worked elsewhere. You look at models of how things could happen. You study trends to see what might be accomplished. You prepare a plan carefully for what your ministry or organization will attempt to accomplish in the next 5 years, all things being equal. We did a lot of this in Pakistan. And in my more cynical moments, I became convinced that in heaven, our 5-year plans were the source of much amusement. I think if they had a comedy channel in heaven, what they do is they just read out our 5-year plans. And they say, can you believe that that's what they thought they were going to accomplish in 5 years? Why? Because we're fallible. We're humans. We put together the best of what we think is going to happen. But we can't foresee the future. We don't. When opportunities come, we didn't have the resources to take advantage of them. The government would bring in new regulations that we weren't privy to. The power goes off every 2 hours. How do you plan for that? So there's our 5-year plan. But God. Aren't those marvelous words? But God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has something made from before the world began, and he brought it through and he accomplished it in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 14:27 says, for the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? Isaiah 43 verses 12 and 13, I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I and not some foreign God among you, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand, and when I act, who can reverse it? That's our God. Nothing can stop God from accomplishing his purpose. And our God's never surprised. The eternal one who knows the beginning all the way to the end never comes across something that he didn't foresee in his planning. Isaiah 44, verses 6 to 8. This is what the Lord says. I, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Didn't I proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No. There's no other rock. I know not one. Here in this passage, God claims to have had a purpose for all time, and he revealed it over time. In this age, he's revealed it completely and accomplished it in his Son. Now, that's a pretty tall claim, because if it's false, God is only making it up as he goes along. Is that really the kind of God you want to follow? But if God knew it from the beginning, and has been accomplishing it all along the way, that's somebody you can depend on. Somebody that you can rely on. My God has a purpose. And I don't have to subscribe to the philosophy that says that this life is meaningless and that we're just accidents of evolution and that in the end nothing will matter. No, I've got a God with a purpose. Does our society need this? Why would something like this be significant to my neighbors? I mean, it's great for us to proclaim it in church and sing about it, but, I mean, to go and get all obnoxious and preach it to your neighbors, is that what God wants? Yeah? Not the obnoxious part. No, you can cut that out. But he does want you to share what he is, who he is, to your neighbors, sharing the good news with a world that is lost. Hang on to that word for a second. Because we use it so often as a label that maybe sometimes we forget what it means. Lost, to have no direction, to be forced without a God to make up your own morals and standards. to be forced without a God with a plan, to have to figure out your own purpose and way in life, to find your own way home, and even have to define what home is. That's lost. And we're not. We've been found, and we have a God with a purpose. So yes, our world needs this. Our world needs this. What does the passage teach me about God? He has a purpose and he's accomplished it. Why is that significant to me? Because I need a God who knows where he's going and I need a purpose. Why is it significant to my society? Because they are, as we say, lost. And they need to learn of the God who knows the purpose of life. That's the first set of questions. There's a few others that go with it, but I've just given you that as examples. That takes about 3 hours to complete. You don't have to thank me now. You can thank me afterwards for not going through the full 3 hours. Because there's a second set of questions which takes another 3 hours. And the main question in this set is simple. According to this passage, what does God want me to be or do? Tough one, right? The first question is, what do I learn about God? And then based on what I know about God, what does he want me to be or do? Makes sense. I should be able to take that and tackle any passage in Scripture. We're just going to look at one of the things in this passage, and that's what we just looked at in verses 10 and 11. Again, those verses are, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you see yourself in verse 10? Church? His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known. And if you're a follower of Jesus the Messiah, you're a part of that church, the body of Christ. I trust you're also a member of a local expression of that body, such as here at Fellowship Baptist, but every Christian is a member of God's holy church. And it comes with a responsibility. God's planning on making his wisdom and his purpose known through you and me. You invite a missionary to come as a speaker. You knew I was going to get around to this sooner or later, right? Okay, here it is. God's wonderful purpose, known to him from eternity and accomplished despite the efforts of all his enemies, is to be made known to our friends and our neighbors, to our family and our enemies, by us. By us being like the God that we just read about. By us sharing that God to a world that desperately, desperately needs him. By your team going to Indonesia to share God's purpose. God wants us to make his purpose known. What would it look like in our society if this was actually happening, if we were doing this more than we are now? First thing that happens is the light and momentary persecution that we're experiencing would increase greatly. People who don't like the fact that we've got morals and standards different from theirs would begin attacking. Satan loves it when the church is asleep, hates it when we wake up, and he makes his hatred known. But there's good news, too. It's not just bad news. If we were doing this in our society, if we were acting on what we read here, then society would also be changing for the better. If we were sharing with them the fact that there's a God who has a purpose for this world and a purpose for them specifically, then think how that would be changing lives in our society. Neighbors would be better. More trustworthy friends, more honest politicians, more law-abiding people as tax time comes up. Because more and more would be following Jesus and trying to be like him. And the questions would come asking about Jesus and God's purpose. What would it look like in the church if we were doing it more and more? For one thing, you'd have trouble finding a parking spot on Sunday morning, and I think we already do have trouble finding parking, so that's already happening. Praise God. You would have trouble finding a seat in a pew on Sunday morning, because the people you're sharing with and telling about would want to be coming and asking questions about it, and your building would be full of people. So that would be some of the good news that would be changing in your church because of what we're doing. What challenges do we face as we're trying to implement something like this? Fear of what the other people are going to think of us, might do to us if we actually start sharing. Finding the time to both pray for neighbors by name and talking with them. Rod, the playoffs are about to start. Well, then maybe it's a mercy that the Oilers aren't in it. I'm sorry, people, but it looks like you've got a lot more time on your hands than you thought. And we can be using that in this way. You don't know what to do? Be godlike in front of the people around you. Be godlike. Don't know what to say? You hear a sermon every week. Share that with them. You know Bible stories. Share those with them. And if you want more, grab somebody in the church who's more experienced than you are and say, teach me. Be my mentor. And then don't be surprised if somebody grabs you who's got less experience than you and says, teach me. Yeah, that could be happening in our church. Here's the final question we put before our participants in the Leaders Formation sessions. So what am I going to do about it? What's my plan? What do you have to change in your behavior to be more Christ-like? What do you have to spend more time on to be more like your God? Who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to allow to ask you how it's going? Who are you going to be accountable to? How will you know when it's working? What do I have to change in my behavior to be more Christ-like? What do I have to spend more time on to be more like my God? Who am I going to talk to, and who's going to be allowed to ask questions of me? So why are we going to Indonesia? Well, I hope you saw that you could take a set of tools like this. Who is God? What does he want me to be and do? What's my plan? You could go over this passage again and again and again with just those questions. Imagine taking that to the whole Bible with just those questions. That's what our team's going to do. We're not going over there to evangelize. The people over there already know how to do that, and they're doing it well. We're going over there to give them a set of tools. We're going over there to share God's purpose with them as he's shared it with us, so that they can be making up plans based on what they believe, what they find in the passage God wants them to be and do. Gary and Sarah are going to be serving in physical ways around the community, showing Christ, showing God. Tony and Tim are going to be involved in the facilitating the actual session, taking part in accomplishing God's purpose. And so as God's awe-inspiring, eternal purpose gets accomplished in Manado and throughout Indonesia, maybe, just maybe, while that's happening over there in Manado, that same purpose would be accomplished here in Edmonton as well. Imagine that.